WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively here at Fadley's. We're at Lexington Market, the new Lexington Market. What kind of fish is that hanging from the ceiling? I don't know. I'm thinking about taking rockfish home with some capers and a beurre blanc. That just means lemon and wine, but that's they say beurre blanc. We're looking forward to doing that. Our friends at Pac-Man and the Maryland Lottery, I'm not giving the machine away, but you can win the machine if you're here today. We're going to be giving away scratch-offs in the Maryland Lottery. Got the fresh Pac-Mans. They're yellow. I'll say Towson or UMBC, but not like the Steelers at all. 25th anniversary documentary will be coming out 2 weeks from now on Thursday, draft day, the 25th at 5:08 p.m. If you're an OG, you'll know why it's 5:08. Luke Jones is here. We're at Lexington Market. We've talked a lot of baseball. And the excitement of the Brewers being in town, excitement of Jackson Holliday being up, excitement of 75-degree baseball and pennant race baseball on a daily basis. Dude, it's almost like Chad Steele's feelings are hurt that we're not talking enough football. It's almost like that.
It's nice not to have to talk about football 365 days a year, even though plenty of people still do.
Oh, come on. That's all we do. And you know that. That's all we do.
As quite a few people like to say, America's favorite sport is the NFL, and second favorite is the NFL offseason. And that's still true in many places, and still true to a point here in Baltimore.
Well, we'll be. When I release this video, this documentary on the 25th, that's the epicenter of the offseason. I mean, that's it. That's a zenith. It doesn't get any bigger than that Thursday night, and then it goes away again a little. Then it goes back to the, well, we'll have a camp, or we'll have an arrest, or we'll have a signing, or whatever. But then it's not quiet from a fan base standpoint, but you can't bet on anything anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You just wait it out, and the difference here is we're going to have this. We're going to have baseball, which we really have not had a whole lot of over the last 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few years where there have been a little bit of a respite, but now, I mean, this just feels so sustainable long-term that it's going to be a case of, okay, they might not be the World Series favorites this year or every year, but
well, if
they're going to be up
there. Well, if they lose in October and you say to me, we'll get them next year, I believe it.
Sure.
I believe it.
Sure.
Year.
Yeah, no question about
now,
it.
Now, when the Ravens said, after losing the AFC Championship game, we'll get them next year, you and I from the beginning were like, the perception will be they'll be a diminished team. You went to the Liars luncheon this week, named by me, even though they threw me out. And DaCosta said something that, you know, is cocking it. We'll be good. You watch. You wait. You watch. We'll be good.
Well, in fairness,
he's right.
He's right.
Yeah.
I mean, and we've said that all along. Like, look, I will not step down from the premise that 2023 felt like their absolute best chance when you consider everything at work. Coaching staff extremely talented, and we've seen the names headlined by Mike McDonald to walk out the door since then. The amount, not just their starters, but the amount of depth they had at so many different positions, and that's where it's really taken the hit. They deliberately are rebuilding their offensive line. You know, they could have brought back Kevin Zeitler for not that much money. Morgan Moses was under contract. So they've deliberately said, we're going to rebuild our offensive line.
Around Lamar's best years.
Right. But beyond that, you look at most of what they've lost, and I get it. Patrick Queen starting inside linebacker. Jadeveon Clowney starting outside linebacker. But, you know, when you look at the longer list, it's mainly been depth guys. Now, quality depth guys, but, you know, Geno Stone and guys of that nature.
But so, those are a lot of downs to replace in those
tough
positions.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt about it.
Quality downs.
That said, even if we say, all right, maybe they're not going to be, you know, a 13-4 juggernaut that leads the NFL in point differential, leads the NFL in scoring defense, leads the NFL in takeaways, leads the NFL in sacks, has the MVP at quarterback, although certainly he's done it twice. Why are you going to bet against him again? But even if they don't have all those things quite to that degree, they're still a playoff team. They're still a legitimate contender in the AFC. Now, do they rank at the top? Well, Kansas City showed them last year that ranking at the top in the regular season only means so much. So the point is, and this is where it goes back to what Eric said and what John was very bullish, kind of went out of his way to offer a two-minute monologue kind of about the idea of just year-to-year roster building. They're still in a great spot. They still have such a great core of young players that
well, that is how you
on
win.
Both sides of the ball.
That's at the base of what they say.
You
we
need
want
stars.
To be competitive every year. And be good enough that we can get that burst to win 13 or 14 games and host an AFC Championship game. But believing you're going to do that 2 years in a row, if Bisciotti were sitting here, he'd say, You know, other teams are going to have we're going to have bad luck at some point. We had bad luck 2 years ago. Cincinnati had bad luck last year.
Maybe it's, as we have kind of flippantly said, but I also think there's something to it at this point, maybe it's that they aren't this juggernaut in the regular season, but guess what? Then the bounces go their way in January. And that's really what's going to make people happy at this point anyway.
Yeah, but part of this team and the way they've been constructed is not to have to go on the road and play. You know, they were constructed from a Lamar standpoint.
But they've also been really good on the road, though. You know what I mean? Like, they haven't had issues on the road with Lamar as quarter. Like, they've lost some games here and there.
Winning playoff games on the road in Buffalo, Cincinnati, Kansas City would be a very daunting task. I think it'd be very daunting.
It's a daunting task every year.
Right, but if you're a wild card, it's even worse.
It is, but I guess the point I'm making is we're going to talk about all these different things, and you know, with the draft, I've got the depth chart here that I put together.
He's a professional reporter.
Where it stands right now. But the point is, with all of that, none of it matters until the second week of January. I mean, that's just where we are right now. We're going to talk about all of it because we all love it, and they're going to play games. And yes, of course, they have to be good enough in the regular season to qualify for the playoffs, get there, because you can't just snap your fingers and you're there in January, as to your point, we found out a couple years ago, the injury plagued season. But it's all about January. So from that standpoint, anything they do, even if you told me it looked better on paper than it did last year, I'll say, okay, what's January going to look like? How's Lamar play in January? How's the coaching staff functioning? Are they going to panic as they feels like they do panic?
Are they going to use Derrick Henry?
Yeah, right, exactly. You signed Derrick Henry, you're going to use him in the AFC Championship game. So, and I don't say that to be dismissive. I think that's where everyone is at this point. Doesn't mean
they can't win a game this, and the Orioles can win three games this weekend.
Sure.
Right? I mean, that really is the difference of having the heartbeat of a two-sport town.
Sure.
Or in places like Philadelphia or Boston or New York where they're a four-sport or a six-sport or an eight-sport town.
Yeah.
That we've been a one-sport town here for a long time. And just the fact that we're sitting here in Fadley's on a Friday afternoon, mm-hmm. sitting here talking about football a little bit and baseball a lot of bit.
Yeah.
And people are coming by looking for Jackson Holiday number 7 jerseys and crab cakes. What is on your mind? 2 weeks from now, we're going to release this documentary that night at 5:08. They're going to draft probably at 10:15 at night or whatever. They're not going to trade back up into the first round. They don't have the firepower to move from 30 to 18.
If anything, they're going to move backwards.
Correct. So,
which someone in the know down in Orlando absolutely put that out there. Now, again, everything said by anyone between now and the draft, you know, in one ear, out the other.
I called it the liar's luncheon.
Well, not
right?
just that, but just this is just lying season in general around the NFL. So, but, you know, what I'm looking for, I mean, I think at this point in time, especially, you know, you and I haven't talked about it too much, but they re-signed Kyle Van Noy.
Okay.
So outside linebacker looks better.
Well, if you
not as
Clowney
good as last
him,
year.
You'd want Clowney.
Yes, but you wanted one or the other. I think going into the offseason, I think we both recognized that you weren't going to keep both those guys. You needed to keep one. And then you're hoping Owe takes the next step after a better season this past year than he had his second year, which was a disappointment.
Or you see Ajabo.
Ajabo's got to be on the field. You know, we'll see about Tavius Robinson, who, you know, got his feet wet this past year as a rookie. We'll see if they draft an edge. But, you know, for the most part, you look at them on both sides of the ball, most positions, while certainly they could augment, certainly they can improve, it's the offensive line that you say, okay, there's still work there. Not depth. Not a backup center.
Players, starters.
But starters, right. And, okay, maybe they have a couple of them. Maybe Ben Cleveland's going to be the right guard. Maybe Andrew Voorhees is going to be the left guard. But who's going to be the right tackle? Are you counting on both those guard spots to be filled internally?
I'm wondering what the left tackle looks like in week 12.
Well, but
I really do.
Sure, we know he's going to be there. But to your point, if you have this rebuilt offensive line, you feel great about Linderbaum. After that, it's kind of a shoulder shrug. Look, I think what they did with Ronnie Stanley with the pay cut, restructuring the deal, I think I said that all along.
They had to do it.
That was
it
going to
make
be
him
the
better
best.
And it doesn't make him healthier.
But it makes the contract more tenable. They voided the last year, so he's now.
Buffalo did with Diggs.
Yeah.
Right?
But he's now in a contract season, so he has plenty of incentive to play, not just incentives to make back, to make him whole for this year, but also, hey, plan for a new contract, whether it's in Baltimore or the Steelers go sign you, whoever. But there are big-time question marks with the offensive line. I mean, right now, if you ask me,
Luke, they have to play a game
this week. Yeah. Ronnie Stanley at left tackle, left guard, I think is Voorhees or Josh Jones, who they, you know, depth guy that they signed.
Talked a lot about Voorhees, right?
Tyler, but he's yet to practice once, right?
I understand that.
I mean, yeah, but yeah, that's why they drafted
him.
Play
this week.
That's why they drafted him last year. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, that's why they drafted him in the seventh round, knowing it was a redshirt year.
Wake me at the third preseason game, and I'll let you know if we got a player.
Ben, sure, and even then, it's maybe.
Still
but
August.
Right guard, Ben Cleveland. Right tackle, probably Patrick McCary, because I don't think Fa'alele is a starter. I don't think he really fits.
They don't have their right tackle on the
I don't think they do either.
We're reading from this, and we're playing internet games here and saying, all right, two of these positions, left guard and right tackle, are going to be filled
so that's
somebody we've never heard of.
Right. Well, people have heard of them, but it might be Amarius Mims. It might be Tyler Guyton. It might be, you know, someone at 30. It might be someone they trade into the second round, and maybe it's someone there. And then you get into scenarios where that's where Patrick McCary is extremely valuable, where you say, all right, we draft a guy. We think he's going to be our right tackle this year. We think he has long-term left tackle potential, but Ronnie's going to be there at least one more year or until he gets hurt,
Orlando
one or the other.
Brown type of draft.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, J.O. J.O. played left guard. You know, they had Tony Jones in 96. You know, it was still a heck of a left tackle. So
Jackson Holliday's playing second and batting ninth.
Yeah, exactly.
He's going to be playing second base and batting ninth forever.
I mean, you know, it might be Gunner moving to third.
I don't think he's
going to
be Joe Morgan when it first is all over with.
Probably not, but for right now, that's how it fits. But whoever that is, knowing the learning curve of offensive linemen going from the collegiate level to the NFL, that guy might not be ready week one. So that, to me, that might be a scenario where maybe Patrick McCary's your starting right tackle for first 3 weeks, first month of the season, and then you hand the reins over to the young guy. You know, you have to have contingency plans. We were talking about this in a previous segment, talking about the Orioles pitching. Like, okay, Bradish and Means right now, there's a lot of unknown, but that doesn't mean Dean Kramer's not going to have an issue at some point, or Burns won't tweak his hamstring and has to miss 2.5 weeks at some point in June. So you have to have depth. You have to have contingencies. You have to have all the scenarios. And where the Ravens stand right now, the O-line is where you say,
well, the draft is depth.
We need a couple dudes.
Four offensive linemen in the draft, what do you expect?
I mean, I think two is the absolute minimum, and I think when I say two, that would be like two in the first four rounds. If it's a case where you say it's your first round pick, a third round pick, and then maybe there's a fifth round guy, they seem. If you look most years,
they're taking two tight ends.
Yeah. I mean, but
they don't have any offensive.
But if you look, right? I mean, they have linemen, but they're a bunch of unproven guys. You know,
better hope you could do better in this draft, especially where. Whenever you put the NFL Network on or ESPN, you know, go anywhere. The offensive line is the depth part of this draft, right?
Yeah.
According to everyone.
Oh, sure.
That's why I'm thinking they're going to go deeper into it that's where they are in their roster.
That said, I think the other thing you have to be careful with, and this is not for the Ravens. This is, I think, teams in general. When you have a position that's regarded as very deep, and I'll use wide receiver because we've talked about that a lot over the years with the Ravens drafting wide receivers. And I can recall years where it was regarded as a pretty deep wide receiver draft. And I think the Ravens, to a fault, and I think they've even acknowledged that years later, Eric's acknowledged and said, hey, there were probably times we should have taken swings earlier in drafts for that position. But I think you also run the risk when you say it's really deep, it's really easy to say, well, we'll get a guy later. We'll get a guy later. You know, we'll trade back or we'll go with this guy.
You're getting a later guy.
Make sure you get a couple legitimate starting options, certainly at right tackle. Look, if you're talking about second round and after, that's ambitious to assume a guy is going to start. Can it happen? Yes.
Or to think you're going to use a third round pick and replace Marlon Humphrey with that 2 years from
now. So, you know, I mean, and that's part of this too. I mean, offensive line's the one position where you say, all right, they clearly have some need. But let's not act like there aren't other positions where there's either some need or let's say you really, really want a guy. You mentioned Marlon Humphrey. Look, he's back. I'm not going to throw dirt on him whatsoever, but this is a big year for him when you consider where his compensation
is. Well, him and Stanley both to have been paid and for them to not have won a championship and for both of them to have had injuries.
Yeah.
And we've seen this
more so Ronnie, but
we've seen this song before with Jimmy Smith at the corner position or offensive line with J.O. where the toe went bad and all of a sudden he goes from a Hall of Famer to retired and what are we going to do, right? They know or they believe they know they're toward the end with Ronnie Stanley. There's not going to be another contract for him here.
Yeah.
In the same way that the Orioles would look at Santander or Mullins or some of these guys.
And if there is, it's going to look, it's not going to be a contract that has nine digits.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
it's like, oh, maybe it's 2 years, $15 million or something like that.
In the case of Marlon Humphrey, you know, I'm not in the building anymore, Chad. But me hears that, you know, Marlon's not the most popular guy in the building. And if you follow him on Twitter, you'd wonder how he has a friend in the world. And if you ever met him, you wouldn't want to meet him again. But all that being said, when a guy's making that kind of money and not playing to that kind of level, and you're looking at where are we going to be a year or two from now, to your point, you're looking at, in baseball, arbitration guys or number guys or big salary guys. I mentioned Stephon Diggs and what the Bills did with him and just said, too much money, too much headache, too much cap, too much, we'll take the hit. And the Bills have just, I mean, wouldn't we be on sports radio in Buffalo right now?
I was just going to say,
the year the Ravens do that to their roster, and just say, yeah, we're done with Lamar, we made a mistake, let's just undo everything. It's not a head scratcher. It's a control thing for the organization, but it's also an admission of a mistake.
Yeah,
an admission that we gave that guy a lot of money and we don't want him anymore. And when you give that guy that money, whether it's Ronnie Stanley, Marlon Humphrey, Lamar Jackson, you give that guy that money, you better make sure you want that guy.
Well, but we also have to remember these deals, NFL deals are not what they say they are, right? I mean, a five-year deal is oftentimes a three-year deal with two team options, right?
But
I mean,
cap number is real when you start pushing, kicking it down.
Well,
the curve.
It depends how much guaranteed money
Lamar
there is.
Right now, the franchise is F for 5 years.
Of course.
There's
just
so
like
much money in
Patrick
one
Mahomes would be the same way. Josh Allen.
So
well,
much in one
the Bills
player.
Are already looking like they're screwed even with Josh Allen. But yeah, so, you know, I'm looking at it right now. I mean, Marlon Humphrey, as his contract's currently constructed without any, you know, adjustments, his cap number for this year is just under $23 million. Next year, it's $25 million. So if he's not playing like a Pro Bowl corner, then there's going to be a difficult conversation next year. I mean, there's no doubt. Or if he's hurt again in the way that he was hurt this past year. So, yeah, there's some of that at work. But also, this is also the natural cycle of how this, you know, of young players coming in. Young players like Ronnie Stanley and Marlon Humphrey were 3 years ago or 4 years ago.
Well, both
they
of those
get
guys
paid.
Got paid. And the thought was they could go to the Hall of Fame at that point.
They both
were really, really elite players when they were signed. Neither one of them are going to the Hall of Fame at this point, and they better hang on to win a championship because we haven't won a lot of playoff games with them here either.
Sure. Well, I mean,
Lamar gets all of that. These guys don't get that.
I understand.
And that's unfair.
Right, right. I understand what you're saying. At the same time, that's a very big canyon between kind of where they are now and saying they're Hall of Fame players.
No, but I'm saying when you give a guy that kind of contract.
Sure. And look, we weren't having this conversation about Marlon Humphrey a year ago. He missed eight games this year. Like, he had foot surgery in August, and then he had the calf issue at the end of the season. But he missed a lot of time. And when you are getting older, and I think so much of this is also you have a quarterback now on a lucrative contract that starting next year, his cap numbers will be well north of 40. You know, next year, I think, is like $44 million. And then after that, that's when they'll redo the deal because it goes to like $70 million or whatever it is. So he'll get an extension at that point. But in the case of someone like Humphrey, you know, Stanley's not a great example because he's already been cut and he's on a contract year as it is. But in the case of Marlon, who still has some time left on this deal, you're also looking at this through the lens of at the end of 24, Tyler Linderbaum will be eligible for an extension. Pro Bowl center, looking like a guy who could be an All-Pro center for a number of years. Kyle Hamilton, you want to talk about, you know, Ronnie Stanley and Marlon Humphrey, both Pro Bowl players at their best. No questions about that. Kyle Hamilton, to me, the guy 2 years in, looks like he could be a Hall of Fame player. That's how special he looks. So he'll be eligible for an extension after your third year is when you're eligible. So that doesn't mean it's going to happen next offseason, but this is what you have to start looking at where you say, okay, who are our new marquee, high-priced guys? Matt Ibike is in that category now.
Yeah,
so, you know, and part of this is...
And Roquan...
And Roquan,
sure.
Right. And Roquan needs to play.
And Mark Andrews.
You know, Roquan.
Mark Andrews getting paid.
Roquan as an inside linebacker at a position that's not premium, he's got to continue to be an absolute stud all pro. If he's only just good, then that's a value concern. So, I mean, I'm not saying this specific to the Ravens. Every city, every NFL market that has sports talk radio could have the same exact conversation.
Your stars have to be stars.
Yeah, exactly. So, and that's where it comes back to the beginning where all of this attrition they've endured, they have stars on both sides of the ball still. Now, offensive line's a major question mark.
You know,
where's Rashad Bateman this year? Where's Adafe Owe this year for the edge rush? You know, I mean, so you have some of these pivotal
Zay
guys.
Flowers the next year,
yeah,
too.
Zay
as well.
Flowers taking the next step.
Sure.
Yeah. So you have some of that, but you've got bona fide stars on both sides of the ball, starting with an MVP quarterback, which is still really, really important.
Him yet, yeah,
no, yeah, exactly.
He's
so,
pretty good.
So, you know, I mean, they're – look, do I think they're going to be as formidable as they were last year or as formidable as they were in 2019, where, again, best record in the NFL, leading point differential, all those different factors? Probably not, because even if they get this offensive line where they draft guys they like – it's probably going to have some growing pains because that's just how this works. I mean, you need time to build
especially on the O-line.
But that said, I still, right now, not even knowing who they're going to draft or knowing who they're going to sign between now and September or even after the season starts, right now, are they a playoff team? Absolutely. I mean, I don't even think twice about it, assuming you don't have a run of injuries that would derail any team. So,
King
yeah.
Henry.
So,
King
yeah,
Henry
so is. They still have, you know, they've got some questions, but they still have so much going for them. And I think when you look at this draft where, and Eric said it, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of notable takeaways from the Liars' Luncheon. Big shock, I know. But he said, this is going to be a year of opportunity. Like, we're going to be drafting some guys who there's going to be a pathway for them to start if they earn it. You know, whereas some years in recent years, you haven't really said that as much. You've kind of looked at a guy and you drafted him and said, well, okay, Owe will be our number three outside linebacker, or Rashad Bateman will be our number three wide receiver, or, you know, whatever it is. So
yeah, but if the Bowsers step up, you don't wind up signing Van Noy. If,
sure.
Right? I mean, and
sure.
If Owe stepped up, you wouldn't have signed Clowney.
Yeah, probably.
Right.
Probably.
Right.
Yeah.
That's where I'm
yeah.
saying, you know.
And look, that's going to happen. I mean, you're not going to bat 1,000 in free agency or the draft.
Well, the Dobbins injury really set the whole organization
sure.
back. In a tremendous, you and I talk about Mark Ingram all the time. We talk about King Henry and everything that's happened in between.
Yeah.
What happened in between is they put a lot of their draft resources into a second-round pick that they thought was a stud.
Was a stud when he was healthy.
Every time he stood up was a stud. Every time.
Yeah, just couldn't stay healthy.
Couldn't stay healthy.
Yeah.
And that really effed with their prosperity.
Well,
in a lot, and they won a lot of games,
hey,
but it really messed with them.
On top of that, after what happened with Dobbins, and okay, it was a contract year. From the moment he tore his Achilles, I think we all knew he's played his last game as a Raven, you know, barring something very strange. But to make matters worse, here you hit it out of the park with Keaton Mitchell looking like what he did. And look, I'm not saying that they wouldn't have drafted or they wouldn't have wanted to add another running back, but if Keaton Mitchell's fully healthy now, I'm not sure you're dropping $9 million on a running back the way they are right now. So they lose him to a torn ACL in mid-December. So you've dealt with this with Dobbins the last couple of years. Oh, by the way, you lost Gus Edwards back in 21 as well.
They've had bad luck with running
they
backs.
They have. Yeah. And that's kind of what's amazing. And this is where we kind of get into the positional value, the debate you and I have had so much, where even with some of their challenges at running back, they've still had a number one ranked running attack. So it's that's where I just say, like, you know, they've made it work. So, but you bring in Derrick Henry now, and look, it's go time. He better be great. Your running game better be great. You know, there better not be any issues with your running game. And
I hope he's great because I've been pimping for him for 3 years.
And but that's where we go back to. You still got to figure out the offensive line.
I mean, want to tackle.
They do.
I'll tell you that.
Oh, Derrick
Henry.
You think? You think?
Luke Jones is here. We are promoting our friends at the Barrel of the Lottery, Pac-Man, but we're here at the all-new Lexington Market at the new Fade Lease. It's got big space. I can yell here, and nobody can even hear me yell because it's got ambient noise. Beautiful stalls. And right across from the Park Fried Chicken, right here on Packer Street. We're on the backside. We're about, I can see the, and I keep calling the stadium, and Janet Marie gets upset with me.
The ballpark.
Correct. Charles Steinberg sets a $5 fine for Larry Lucchino every time he called it a stadium. So I can see the ballpark lights from here. The stadium's on the other side. I can't see that. And we're down here at Fadley's. Come on down. We're going to be here every Friday from about 2 to 5 hanging out. Sheila Dixon's going to join us today. Shannon Sneed's going to join us running for city offices. Also, Damien Hahn is going to be with us talking about this magnificent new facility and structure. And it's just like the old Fadley's. Except newer and shinier and newer equipment and awesomeness. So come on down. Make sure you get a beer here before the game. If you're down here any Friday in the near short term, I'll have some Pac-Man scratch-offs to give away, but I will have scratch-offs here every Friday that the Orioles are home this year. Don't come down on a Friday when the Orioles are away and say, you weren't there, Nathan. just for the home games, all right? So we're going
to
do that.
They could still come down to Fadley's, but you won't be here.
I won't be here. You don't need me. What's yours? Come on the Fridays when we're not here. Be less of a crowd.
You get what I'm saying.
Easier have a good weekend at the ballpark. I'm under review. I don't know. Maybe you'll see me in the press box. Maybe you won't, you know?
Hopefully soon, at the very least, soon. It's been
too
long.
Well, you need a day off. You haven't had one off in 15 years. So, yeah.
Hey, I can't say anything. Cal Ripken's back in the organization,
right.
So there's no days off, right?
You'll tell that to Cal or Billy. All right. We're Fadley's. I'm Nestor. We're going to come back here, continue having conversations. If you've heard any of our conversations this week with Keith Brewer, with John Allen, the 25th anniversary of our documentary, No One Listens, Everyone Hears. That's the name of our documentary. It's coming out on the 25th, April 25th. Luke's in it. I'm in it. My mother's in it. My family's in it. Anybody that's ever been associated with WNSD, I've tried to get them, sneak them in there. If you're not in there, I apologize ahead of time. But we're going to launch that at 5:08 p.m. on the 25th of April in advance of the NFL draft. Big thanks to Greg Landry over Towson Transfers and Blue Rock Productions. He's flying to Spain this week. That's like a song. I've never been to heaven, but I've never been to Spain. So he's going to Spain this week, but the movie's coming out on the 25th. We'll be back here on the 26th with these Pac-Man giveaways. We have punted on our Coco's Crab Cake Day. Something about a Springsteen concert in Syracuse. I don't know. Marty Conway. But we're going to be doing the show in Coco's in early June. We'll be back here on the 26th. We're also going to be at Greenmount Station and the Greenmount Bowl on the 24th of April. That's Wednesday up in Carroll County with my pal David Richardson and Chris from Greenmount Station talking about crab cakes and talking about the racing industry, the horse racing industry. Big news out of Annapolis there. I'm chasing Bill Ferguson down to get some dirt on that as well. Luke's going to the ballpark. I'm going to get a crab cake and a beer. We're at Fadley. Stay with us. We are WNSD, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.